Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I keep having to reminding people that this is something that our government and our country has never ever been through before, and hopefully will never have to go through again. So the rules keep changing every single day. You know, one day you're getting this amount of money for that, and the next day they change it because they realise it's not enough or it's too much. So everything is changing on a daily basis. Dates that you're being given for suspension of certain services, you know, those dates may have to move forward again. And on the line to talk to me about particular dates is Conor Faulkner, who's the Director of Consumers Affairs for AA Ireland. Conor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. Hello.
Well, the RSA has suspended all normal driving tests until April 19th. Now, that date obviously being movable if necessary. But how does that, you believe, how many people currently are waiting for a driver's test or who are booked in for a driver's test? Have you any idea?
Well, yeah, they actually had got their act together on that. It would, in other circumstances, have been a reasonably good news story for them. About 3 years ago, 4 years now, maybe, there was a long wait for driving tests. As in, it had gone out to 4, 5, 6 months. There were certain test centres in the country where it was over 6 months. Dreadful, like the bad old days. Yeah. The RSA, in fairness, have been on top of that in recent, I'm going to say the last year. They've really wrestled that back under control. The waiting list was down nationally to under 6 weeks, which is great. That's about, you know, where you would like it to be. And then along comes COVID. So clearly, they have to pause. They have to stop conducting driving tests for April 19th, but as you say, Niall, it's you know, that's a movable date that may extend. So they're going to wind up with a big gap in the amount of tests that they've physically conducted. And unfortunately, that means, you know, having done the good work, getting on top of the waiting list, they're going to get back in business whenever we're all back in business, whether it's May or June or July or wherever it is. But as soon as they come back, they're immediately going to be recongested
with another waiting list backlog problem.
Yeah, a bit frustrating. The NCT is still open for the time being.
I'm surprised to see that because somebody sent us an email yesterday that she had been for an NCT and she said she was sitting in a waiting room with other people and the driver was in and out of her car and she was kind of a bit concerned about that, and I was going, yeah. Now, I know the NCT have put out a list of guidelines saying their testers will try their best not to have, you know, close contact with people and to bring your own, you know, kind of wipes and, you know, sanitizer if you wanted to clean your steering wheel afterwards. I suppose there's a limit to what they can do. But I am surprised because in the UK and in Northern Ireland, in both cases, they have suspended the MOT for 6 months.
Yeah, well, in fact, in Northern Ireland, they had suspended it already because of this issue with broken lifts, which was, you know, a pre-COVID story.
And that's what she said in her email. She had to make two visits because the lift was broken.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, look, I think I don't want to speak for the NCT, but, you know, just in terms of everybody out there in the economy, including the AA, you know, we're doing rescue tasks at the moment because people still need us. We're doing free rescues for anybody who works in the health service. Our patrols are out and working. We have people in the office, a very small number of people, and it's reduced. But, you know, we've got customers to serve. And that was the Taoiseach's instruction. The economy has got to keep moving. So once you can implement proper social distancing protocols and can operate in safety, then I think it's, you know, as per the Taoiseach's comments, it's right that business and commerce continues. We need the shelves full. We need things to move.
And what about the garages, Conor? You know, people who are working and need to get their car fixed. I mean, I'm getting mixed reports of some garages are open and other mechanics and garages are closed. And people don't seem to know. I mean, it is a little bit ad hoc, isn't it?
Well, it is a little bit. But you recall, actually, in the Taoiseach speech yesterday, that was one of the essential services that he actually specifically mentioned was mechanics. And you know, for just that reason. So some of them are still open. I happen to know, just because we've come across them ourselves, that there are some garages who are closed to the general public. But like the AA, they're open for health service staff, for anybody who's vulnerable, for anybody who genuinely needs it. And like every other workplace, they're implementing distancing protocols.
I know some of the main dealers have suggested that if your car was due in for a service, that you're to stay at home and they would come and collect your car and bring it back to you.
Yeah, which is terrific. And everybody's improvising and doing what they can to serve customers. Because, look, we talk about the obvious frontline staff, like our health service, you know, the heroes at the moment, and we all know that. But actually, you know, we're all being asked to participate in this national effort. So it's just, look, whatever we can do. And at the moment, our government is telling us that one of the things we can do is keep things going, keep the shelves filled, keep the services provided. There are some unfortunate sectors of the economy where you just cannot operate in with physical distancing protocols in place. So, you know, hairdressers, clearly a lot of the hospitality industry is wiped out.
So it's wiped out completely,
Out. Sure, my son is a musician gigging in pubs in Dublin.
That's the end of that,
100% gone. Yeah, he's going to volunteer for the HSE and do something useful, maybe. But, you know, so we're all sort of trying to do what we can. And part of that is keeping commerce and keeping what we can of the economy, what we can operate safely, we should still be operating, and that's what we're trying to do.
All right, well, look, and by the way, just to mention as well, the RSA said they will make reasonable efforts to accommodate people in exceptional circumstances, like ambulance drivers, for example, fire service, civil defence, medical professionals and critical supply chains, or HGV drivers. So if you do have a test and you fit into that critical category and you contact them, they will try to get, they will try to accommodate you. By the way, Conor, just very quickly, for those who have a test booked and have a date, what do they need? Do they need to do anything, or will the RSA automatically just send them out a new letter with a new date? Will they need to contact the RSA?
I would imagine, and here I don't want to stretch and talk for the RSA, but I would imagine the contact will be automatic. You'll be told of a cancellation and you'll be told that of a reschedule. But I would stress now that, don't take that from me. Better off talking to the RSA directly, as in check their website for updates. Like ourselves, like everybody, I suppose, things are changing on an almost daily basis. Yeah. But if we're stable in this phase for the time being, it looks likely that it'll be a postponement, and in due course you'll be contacted with a reschedule. But RSA website should have that.
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, Conor Falcon. I appreciate you.
Thanks
on
indeed.
All right, now let me go to Sarah. Sarah, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Sarah?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Sarah, now you've been in a situation which is probably familiar to people, where you've been unwell and you seem to have all the symptoms, well, what we're being told, the symptoms to watch out for. So what happened?
Well, Niall, I didn't quite have all the symptoms. Now, I had shortness of breath and cough, but I had no fever.
Okay.
And I, of course, I contacted my GP, and it was all started actually with a kidney infection. And I also had the coughing symptom at the start.
Right, okay.
So I was sent in to the hospital by my GP, and they'd done a CT scan. They never really treated the cough at the time. It was just the kidney infection. They'd done the CT scan, and they saw that I had a bit of infection in my lung.
Okay.
So that was fine. Went home. Then I started getting the symptom, shortness of breath, and I contacted my GP again, and I was sent to the hospital. So I was sent to the hospital, I was left sitting waiting, and then I was sent home untreated with the shortness of breath and cough, and I was just told I had to go get tested.
Right, okay.
And
were you given any medication or anything like that? Or?
No, I was given no medication at this time. I was only given antibiotics for the kidney infection at the time, which was a kidney stone.
Right, okay.
And I went home again, and I contacted my doctor again, and they sent me back to the hospital for the third time. This was...
Wait,
you know,
and were you in A&E, by the way, at any stage? Were you
All A&E.
All A&E. So you're sitting there with other people, obviously, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. This is, I think I could have possibly even picked it up in the hospital or anything, you don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, but it's just been, I've been sent up and down and up and down.
And did anybody suggest a COVID test at any stage?
No, I've been, when my doctors first put me in the system for a test, but I was taken off it again because I didn't meet the criteria.
The new criteria they brought in now, yeah.
Well, no, this is the first, yeah.
So the first criteria, you didn't meet that either.
No, I did. I met the first criteria I did meet, but the second criteria then is that I didn't meet it, so they said they wouldn't test me.
Right.
And then they just keep sending me to the hospital, and the hospital sending me back to the doctor telling me, you know, you need to get tested with your doctor, and then the doctor sending me back to the hospital saying they need to test me. So, like, it's just, I've been slipping through the cracks, really.
That's bizarre. So your doctor obviously believes you do need to be tested.
Yeah.
But the HSE believe you don't. And there's you with a shortness of breath and a cough, which are two symptoms. And,
I know, yeah.
And how are you feeling today?
Well, to be honest, I'm just back out of the hospital now. And they told me that because of my CT scan, they said that they saw something which they indicate, they reckon that they could, that I do have it, but they won't test me.
Right.
Which makes, I don't know, no sense at all.
Okay, right. So they reckon that you might have COVID-19, but they won't test you.
Yeah, but they said, what the doctor said to me is like, I'm nearly sure. He's like, you do have it. And he's like, by your CT scan, he said there was a glass-like effect in my lung.
Okay.
From which they spotted, but they said that they
I can hear you because you keep, when you're talking to me, I can hear the shortness of breath and the little cough. And I hope you're not going into too much pain. How's your chest? Does it feel tight or are you sore?
Yeah, it's actually, it is quite tight and it's very, very sore from all the coughing.
Yeah,
but
thankfully
they have given me something. They've prescribed me something anyway for the coughing, so hopefully
that will kind of ease the congestion a little bit. I know they're saying there is no medication for COVID-19, but you can take all the standard medication, you know, to ease, you know, a cough or to, you know, get paracetamol, for example, if you do have a fever, etc., etc. So those kind of medications do work somewhat. But so, Sarah, this is quite concerning that you're telling me that they believe that you might have it, but nobody's actually going to test you first.
That's it. And I just can't stress enough, like, I don't have a fever, but even though I have two other symptoms, they still think that I shouldn't be tested.
And when did it start? When did your symptoms start?
This started last Friday. I started with just a dry cough.
Okay.
But then it's kind of the symptoms have progressed.
Right.
But it's just because I haven't got the fever, they won't test me.
They won't test you, okay.
Yeah, and the doctor said, by my scan, he said he believes that I do have it, but they still won't test me.
I know they say a fever is the main symptom. I mean, the cough and everything else, and obviously further on then, obviously you have the respiratory problems. But the fever, like a fever would be a main symptom of any virus.
Bacterial,
a bacterial infection, i.e. a chest infection, doesn't necessarily give you a fever. So maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I can't, obviously, I'm not going to diagnose
you. But even if you look at Keira Kelly now, like, she was the same. She has no fever either, but she tested positive.
Right. Okay. Well, I found it unusual, by the way, that she managed to get the test the next day. But however, that's a whole different story. But in saying that,
you never know.
I know. Yeah. I don't know about that story at all. But I'm not going to get into that today in the air. But in relation to your experience, I find it bizarre that you've been back and forward to hospital. You've been sent there twice by your doctor. You clearly have symptoms, which would lead us to believe that you might have it. A doctor's opinion that you might actually have it. And nobody's willing to test you just to at least get a stat anyway to see if you do have it.
But it's just to know if I need to be treated for it or not, because they could be treating me for something, you know, that I mightn't have or that I might have.
Of course, yeah. I mean, somebody texts in, by the way, and said Claire Byrne had no fever either but tested positive. Right, okay.
Yeah. It's just uncertainty of not knowing if you do have it or not, like, especially when you have other people at home who are also relying on, you know, this doctor, you know, to find out if you do have to be tested or if you do have symptoms, can they go to work, that they don't spread the disease? Or it's just, you know.
Yeah, I know, because you want to, at least if you get a negative test, you don't have to kind of isolate yourself from other people. But obviously at the moment, it would be cautionary to do that. I'm assuming, are you isolating at the moment?
Oh, yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah.
The only place I've been to really is the doctor's now, up and down to
A&E, which has a lot of people in it.
The doctor wouldn't even let me down to the surgery. Like, my own GP wouldn't let me anywhere near the surgery because of the cough.
But he sent you to A&E.
Yeah.
Nobody
wants to deal with me.
No. It's almost God, like, poor girl is a leper. I mean, when you went to A&E, did they give you a mask when you sat down?
Everyone had a mask, but I was only saying this to my dad, and I was like, the first day I went down on the Monday to get my scan, they put me into one area, so they said go to the area furthest away,
right.
And then when I went in then last night, then they said sit to the area of the back, and when I was sitting there, I just said, if you're sitting in this area, you must be wearing a mask.
Right.
So obviously they have isolated people who might be coming with COVID symptoms, just sit to the back of the waiting area.
Right.
And then if you're healthy and it's something else, like, you know, an arm break or something, they have you sit to the front of
the
waiting area.
To keep you away. But my thinking is, let's say you didn't have it, right? And then they're putting other people who might have it sitting beside you down the back. I mean, that's kind of then a chance then of you actually catching it. And so I find the whole thing is all a little bit disjointed.
It really is.
I mean, you shouldn't be in a... If there's a suspicion that somebody has COVID-19, you shouldn't be sitting in A&E at all.
You should be sitting in your car. But that's why today they told me, they gave me a number. And they said, ring this number when you're outside and the doctor will come out and get you. Which sounds like a better system, I think, as opposed to leaving someone like last night where it's like sitting there for 3 hours
waiting
to be seen.
Yeah, or even sit outside if they had, like, you know, in the restaurants they have those little circular things that buzz, you know, when you have to wait for your meal, and they leave you if they could leave you sitting outside the door on a bench or something. I mean, it buzzes, you could go in rather than sitting beside other people. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm very distressed to hear that you didn't get a test yet, and you sound quite unwell, to be honest with you.
I know, it's the cough. Sarah. It's the cough that was the worst one. And then last night getting sent home, the doctor literally took an X-ray and said, "Yeah, you need to go back to your doctor and you need to get tested." And I tried to tell him, I was like, they've changed the rules now and that, like, you need to meet certain criteria with your doctor. And he said, no. And I was like, so I'm not going to get refused a test. And he said, no, you won't get refused. And then I went back to my doctor and they said, sorry, we can't give you the test. Like, you'll have to go back to the hospital. Like, they need to arrange that for you. So I was just getting sent back and forth looking for this test.
Yeah, I'm looking here at some of the text coming in. Somebody says, "Now, it does sound like that girl has COVID-19. They're all judging, you know." they said the hospitals are under pressure and cannot test everybody. They have to test medics first. It's really not too much for people to stay at home for 2 weeks if they have the symptoms. And I know that's what they're kind of saying. Like, it's not that we don't care about you. It's, yeah, you probably have it. And, you know, just stay at home. She'll be grand.
All I wanted was, like, some medication to help with my chest because I'm coughing so much that I'm afraid, like, there's a very bad infection in there and I just want something to help with it. Yeah. And they won't let me go to the doctor, my own doctor, in case of, like, elderly patients and stuff. And then then the hospital then are just sending me back to my doctor, like, and all I wanted was something just to help, something that can help with the chest infection.
Yeah,
so it's like you don't know who do you go to or where do you go.
I know, I know. Well, it is all very confusing times. And by the way, if the cough is that bad, I had a really bad cough going back a while ago. And I coughed so hard one day that I tore a muscle in my chest. And it was the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my life. I was actually in a hardware shop at the time. And I ended up on my knees and being helped by two people back out to my car, which was really embarrassing. And for days, I couldn't move.
That would be next.
I tore a muscle. I ended up having to get a CT scan and MRIs and everything. What I did was I tore these muscles. I can't remember what they're called, but they're just under your rib cage. And they're muscles that actually contract your lungs to make you cough. And I actually tore one of the muscles.
Or a dose.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was in a bad way.
I'm in so much pain. Like, my chest is so tight from coughing now. Like, it hurts. And I'm afraid that, like, I even said to my boyfriend, I was like, I coughed up a bit of phlegm this morning. And I was like, it looks like there was maybe blood in it because I've been coughing so much.
I know, because you can really badly inflame your chest when you're coughing that much, and you could cough up blood because you can actually tear, you know, the inside of your lungs from coughing so much. And I always say to people, if you really have a bad cough, to kind of hold a pillow against your chest when you're coughing, because it kind of makes it a bit easier. That's what they tell people who've had operations, for example. Like you're hugging the pillow when you're coughing because it makes it a bit easier on your chest. But in saying that, Sarah, I don't know what to recommend to you, that, you know, I'd like to be able to diagnose you. I actually feel so sorry for you. I don't know what to say to you. I mean, but would knowing that you have it make it any better?
Yes, in some senses, because at least I can tell people that are at home who are there with me whether it's safe for them to leave the house now because they can't go to work now.
Yeah, but it probably isn't. If there are people in that house with you, I would recommend that they shouldn't probably. The recommendation from the government, from the HSE, is anybody who's in your house or your immediate contact, like your boyfriend, for example, who I'm assuming you've had contact with, unless you've become celibate or something like that. I'm assuming you've had contact with. The recommendation is that none of them go to work, that they shouldn't be in contact with other people, that they all isolate themselves for at least 7 days to make sure they don't have any symptoms.
But
the recommendation is 14 days, you know. But I suppose after 7, you'd probably know whether you had some sort of symptoms or something like that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So that's why, like, it would just be nice to tell them.
Yeah, I know. It would be nice. And I know they're saying within the next 2 weeks there will be a home test that you can get, similar to the diabetes test, with a drip of blood that you stick a pin in your finger and you, like, a little gadget, you know, a little strip. And they will have that, hopefully. They're hoping in about 2 weeks. And the plan is, once that comes along, we can all then test ourselves, essentially, maybe. That could be the plan. We'll go to our local pharmacy, get a test, test ourselves. And if we don't have it, that at least then we know I can go to work or I can go out and I'm grand. Or if you have, and there's also another test coming out I read about this morning where they'll be able to test people who've had it maybe 3 weeks ago and didn't even know they had it, and because they'll test for antibodies in your blood, You know, so essentially those people will be safe then because they know they're immune to it because you can only catch it once. So all those things are on the way, which will make life easier for everybody. But I understand the wanting to know, Sarah. I understand that.
Yeah.
It makes life easier, you know. Well, look, I wish
hopefully.
I wish you well, you poor mite. You must be, in a terrible situation.
Oh, well, it's nice having a few days off anyway as well.
It's good to have a chat, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's nice to talk, even though there's thousands of people who listen to you. It's just nice to have an old chat. If you ever want to ring again for a chat, by the way, Sarah, you're quite welcome to. And how are you occupying yourself?
Well, to be honest, I did go out for a walk up until yesterday, but then obviously the shortness of breath, I can't really go out and walk as far, but just making. I made sushi yesterday. That right. was quite interesting.
Right, okay. And was it successful?
It was very nice.
Okay.
And just kind of watching TV, really. There's not much you can do. I was thinking about pulling out my puzzles, but it's
yeah, the
big
puzzles are a good idea because the TV, you can kind of get bored of watching the same thing over and over again. Yeah. And, you know, there's only so many episodes of so many things you can watch on Netflix without getting bored. I mean, you can do a bit of binge watching, watch a whole season of something.
I've been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and White Collar. Very well recommended anyway. It's past the time.
I've just been told in my ear, by the way, that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a great show. I haven't seen it. I've just been told.
It's very funny.
I've been told to say this. You might understand it. Noice. What does that mean? What
are you doing?
Okay, they must say it in the show or something like that. I don't know. But listen, I wish you well, Sarah, and I hope you get better soon, all right? And you've got to look at the light at the end of the tunnel. The thing is, Sarah, this will be gone. In a week's time, you'll be running around, jumping up and down, and hopefully the cough will be gone, all right?
The main thing is I am healthy and I'm young, like I'm lucky.
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 28.
All right, okay. You'll be great.
Oh, yeah, so I am lucky in that sense anyway.
Yeah, and I know people are watching the television and they're hearing all these horrible, horrible stories around the world, you know, but the one thing you have to always remember, it's not going to be you. Because, you know, like, for example, for a 28-year-old, right, to have a very serious condition or end up in ICU, you know, with the COVID-19 would be the same as the chances of you winning the lottery.
Exactly.
If you understand what I'm saying, the possibility of that happening to you at 28 years of age would be so low, it wouldn't be a thing. So like most 28-year-olds who get it, you will have a bit of a bad time, a bad cold, a bad cough, as I can clearly hear, and, you know, and you'll be coughing quite a lot. But in saying that, you know, you'll be grand.
You'll get past it.
You'll be better
for your marriage, isn't that what they say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If it's for, as my mother would say, if it's for you, it won't pass you.
Exactly.
Thanks, Sarah. It's lovely talking to you, Ollie.
Bye.
Oh, by the way, can I mention too as well, I want to take a couple of callers after the break about Sunday closing. Because I was kind of watching over the weekend, or should I say, last weekend in particular, I suppose, before the strict measures come in. And, you know, the closeness of families. And I know a lot of people went to the beach and went to Glendalough and things like that they shouldn't have done. But it did show that there was a sign there that families were doing things together again. And it kind of made me feel that we've relied so much on technology. We spend so much time watching telly, on our iPads, playing our PlayStations, whatever we happen to do or whatever keeps us happy. It's usually involving technology. And we tend to ignore each other and don't do things together anymore. We don't have time, you know, making memories, as they say, when your kids are young. And it was wonderful to see it. Now, I'm reiterating you not to do it now, because we've been told we shouldn't be doing it now. We need to stay at home unless it's a necessary journey. But last week, when people were doing it, some people silly, yes, but it still was nice to see. And going forward, when all this is ending and when all this ends, which it will, it'll end very soon. For all those people who think there's no light at the end of the tunnel, it seems that way at the moment, but it will all end very soon. Do you think that we should go back to the way it was on Sunday, going back 30 or 40 years ago? When I was a kid, nowhere opened on a Sunday. Shops didn't open. Still, by the way, in Northern Ireland, the shops don't open till 12 o'clock on a Sunday. And they close at 5, because it's a kind of religious thing. And there, even then, it was tough to allow it to happen up the north because there were so many religious groups there who objected to it. And that was the reason we did it down here, because it was protected as the Sabbath. Now, I'm not religious by any stretch of the imagination, but culturally, should we go back to closing everywhere on a Sunday? Pubs, clubs, bars, restaurants. Well, maybe not restaurants. Restaurants would be okay. I think it's nice to have the family out for an afternoon, for a dinner. You know, everywhere that doesn't need to open. Shops, shopping centres. Is there a reason for them? Do you really need them open on a Sunday? Should that not be a time you spend with your family? Would it be a good idea to go back to the past where we saw the pubs and the shops all close on a Sunday? Let me know what you think if that's a good idea. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Dave. Dave, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Dave?
What's the story?
Would you like to see the shops and pubs stay closed when all this is over? Would you like, I know you're not religious either, really. So, I mean, but from just from a point of view, cultural point of view, would you like to see them stay closed?
I think it'd be nice. Do you know, you could kind of give people like a forcibly have a day of rest. Do you know, because I find like, you know, to be honest with you, on a Sunday, that's kind of our thing anyway. We'll go off and do something or we won't go shopping or anything. But like, just, you know, when you're working like Monday to Friday, especially, do you know, and like you get home in the evening time. You know, before you know it, it's time to go to bed again. And then you get the weekend. You're like, right, I have 48 hours to try and cram as much shit in as I can before I go back to work on Monday morning.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to have a day where everything is closed and go, just, you know, we might do something we don't normally do.
Yeah, apart from walking around Paris City or Harvey Norman's or Aldi or something like that or
that's
whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate doing that on a Sunday, to be honest with you. Sunday is a day of rest for us. You know, we either chill out at home and maybe play board games and stuff or go off for a walk somewhere, maybe go for a walk along the beach, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and during the summer particularly, you know, when you can pop up to Glendalough or whatever part of the country you happen to be living in, you know, the Ring of Kerry, whatever it is that you want to do, that you can kind of go for that nice, you know, a day out in the car and have a picnic or something, because we don't do that as much as we should. And I've noticed, although they shouldn't have been doing it last week, you know, hats off to families who kind of decided this was a good time to have family time.
Yeah, I know, but thanks for ruining it for the rest of us.
I know, yeah, of course.
I was hoping to head down as far as this again, but I think I'll pause on that.
Yeah.
I'll do the iron work or something. Dead. No, but it would be nice. Because I even remember when I was younger, when we used to live in Dublin, even when I was a kid, a lot of the shops still didn't open. You'd have a few of them would be open, but a lot of them wouldn't open on a Sunday. So instead of going in and going to the shops, we might go to a museum or an art gallery or something like that.
But Sunday is just like every other day now, isn't it?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. I don't mean
coronavirus time. I'm talking about up to three weeks ago. I always remember a story, actually. I used to work in a place called Waltham Electronics out in Dunleary. And I used to have to get the bus to the train station. So every morning I'd wake up at 6:30 and I had to get the train at 7:20. And I have to get a bus at Harmonstown to get me down to the train station. Anyway, so this particular day, I got my clothes on. I was, you know, you're in a panic when you get up a little bit late. Yeah. You're in a panic. You don't even know what you're doing, right?
And
you're
every morning.
Out the door, ran up Edenmore Gardens up to the top. And I'm standing at the bus stop at Harmonstown. And I'm looking and there's nobody at the bus stop except me. And I'm going, well, that's a bit unusual. All right. And then I see people walking around. Now, you won't probably understand this, Dave, you're too young. But I see people walking around dressed well. And I'm going, right, why are they all in their Sunday clothes?
But they're all on the way to mass. Yeah.
Well, it was a Sunday, I forgot it was a Sunday morning and I shouldn't have been in work. But that was the way it was in those days. The streets were quiet on a Sunday. There wasn't as much traffic on the road. People dressed up in their Sunday clothes. Now Sunday's just another day.
It is. It's nice. And you used to have little traditions like that. We kind of had stuff like that now when I was younger. Now, like, we were never a religious family, so we never went to Mass.
Yeah.
But we would get up on
Sunday. I was sent
to
Mass. My dad would send you to Mass.
Oh, I know, yeah. A cousin of mine was like that. His dad never went to Mass, but he told him, if I hear you're not Mass on Saturday, I'll break a hurley off you.
Oh, yeah,
you
know? So you'd come home, like, and my dad would say to you, all right, what was the sermon about?
Yeah.
Who said the Mass?
The hypocrisy there. Like. But we used to, we'd get up on a Sunday morning, and, you know, my dad would make a fry up, and then we'd all get up, we all dress
did
up.
Did your dad make a fry as well, yeah?
Oh, my dad made the best dinners ever. They weren't good for your heart, but Jesus Christ. That man could cook a T-bone.
Dad used to do the fry-up and he'd have fried bread. He used to fry the bread as well.
I remember the fried bread. I actually tried to make that recently. I got a bit nostalgic and I was making breakfast. I was like, you know, I haven't had fried bread in ages. So I threw it in and did it the way my dad used to do it. And I took one bite of it and I went into the bin.
I know, it's greasy and disgusting.
I was like, I can't believe whole generations of people were actually brought up eating this shit. No wonder heart disease is so prevalent in this country.
I know, my father used to say, a bit of fried bread and put hairs on your chest.
Like, I used to love when my dad cooked dinner, but I wouldn't have him too often because, you know, like your cholesterol goes through the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was, Sunday was a different day. Your dad would get up because he was working all week. Of course, times are very different where fathers went out to work, mothers stayed at home. Your dad got up on a Sunday and your mother would get a lie-in and he'd make the breakfast. That was a kind of very common thing in Irish families. But do me a favour, stay there because I want to come to Bernie after the break as well. I want to know, would you like to see the return of the kind of Sundays that we used to have 30 years ago? Our older members of the audience would remember better than the younger members, I think, because most of our younger member of younger listeners would probably think Sunday is just a day like every other day. All right, let me just go to Bernie. You're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Bernie?
I'm grand, Niall. I am one of the age group that can actually talk about this. I loved Sunday being off. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
It was great. And like, you went to the mass at 10:30. I think there were 12 of us. So 6 of us went to 10:30 and 6 of us went to 11:30 or whatever. And then your dad would be working. He'd finish at 2:15. He's one of the ship. He was a guard, so he was finished at 2:15. My mother would have the dinner thrown to us at about 1 o'clock. And we'd all get into the car and we'd go out to the Hill of Tara or we'd go up to Phoenix Park. And they brought us around for the day, and that was there. You go to your visit your auntie if there was one nearby, and that was it. And there was no shops, and there was no, you know, you were part of a, you felt it was a family day.
It was a family day, yeah.
Yeah, like Saturday evening when you get all the shoes and socks ready for the mass on Sunday, and all the outfits would be taken out of the press and they made sure they were ironed
properly. What was that all about, by the way? That we were put into shiny new clothes for a Sunday. We were in bits for the rest of the week.
But. You had very little clothes, and you think about it, all you had was, you know, your playing around clothes, which would be, you know, I don't even remember, I think it was a skirt and a top and a pair of those, you know, those runners, those white runners, the plimsolls that you had to change yourself. And you'd have a pair of socks. We didn't have all the clothes that we have now. Like, I think we had one good pair of socks and we had maybe a pair, three pairs for the rest of the week.
Yeah, and you're right, the plimsolls, and you used to get that squeezy stuff with the spongy thing on the end to make them white again.
That's right, and there was none of this going out and buying a pair of Nikes. We didn't even hear, we didn't know what Nikes were.
No.
And you went on the road in the evening and they made you pay for some of the friends, the family, the people on the road, and that was it.
Yeah.
And you got a treat would be a pack orange and you know, a biscuit. Like, can you imagine a packet of biscuits coming to our house? Sure, they were swallowed whole.
Yeah, you know? There was two biscuits put into a bit of tin foil for you. So that'll be grand. That'll do you.
Yeah, and like, you know, we went out to the Hill of Tara and she'd make sandwiches, maybe a, you know, a bit of corned beef on a sandwich, and you'd be handed out them out the window. And they'd sit in the car and you'd run around the Hill of Tara.
Like a lunatic. Yeah. But you know what? They're great memories. And my father had a cine camera. I know you probably don't. Do you know what a cine camera is?
Yes, I do remember what it is.
Yeah, okay. Dave, do you know what a cine camera is?
A cine camera?
Not a silly camera.
A cine camera. No.
Well, a cine camera was the first video recorder type thing, right?
So, oh, it was a luxury. Wow,
it was a luxury, yeah. It was a camera. This is back in the 1960s, right? And he had a camera that you put a cartridge into, and it was a Super 8 film. And you got it, you brought it down to your local photographer shop, and they would develop it for you. And you'd come back on a roll of film, and he'd put it on his projector, right?
Ooh.
And I have videos of me when I was like 8 years of age running around Salt Hill on the beach, half naked, with my father playing football with me and all that kind of stuff, and in buttons, by the way. So I've they're 50 years old. I have 50 year old videos, so to speak, or whether Super 8, but I've put them onto video now. And and it's amazing to have, and all those what we call creating memories. I don't think families do that as much anymore.
And now, I mean, you know, I went to work as well. I was a nurse and I trained in Bagot Street. So there was no buses on a Sunday morning. We still had to work. So, you know, you'd be out.
They had a skeleton service, didn't they?
Yeah. So you had to get all the patients in on a Sunday. I remember they'd be admitted on a Sunday for their operations Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That was the way it was done. So you'd have a big admission input on a Sunday. So there was no buses. And, you know, I lived on the north side. So to get to the south side, you know, you had to go to your father and go, Dad, is there any chance you get up and bring me to work?
Yeah.
And you had to get a taxi or you cycled. So I cycled and, you know, got me down in the rainy days. But that was it.
What we're saying is here, this is a good idea. So when all this ends, I think we should go back to closing shops and unnecessary places on a Sunday. But stay there for a second. Let me go to Maria as well. Maria, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing? Oh, Marie. Sorry, I apologise. Marie, you're pregnant at the moment.
Yep.
Congratulations. Say congratulations, Bernie and Dave, to Marie.
Marie, I'm very happy for you.
All right, okay. And your husband is currently away working in Scotland.
Yeah.
All right, okay. And how is it for you now? How is it a bit tough for you at the moment?
It is, but I'm very lucky. I've actually got my 14-year-old. I've a big age gap, but I've got my 14-year-old. She's actually lovely. She's very helpful and kind of keeps my sanity mostly.
All right, okay. So she's almost like your carer, is she?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you know?
And I suppose during these concerning times, being pregnant as well, you're a little bit extra cautious. You want to make sure that you're keeping away from people as much as possible.
It's
horrible. But to be honest with you, by nature, I'm not a huge people-y person anyway.
Okay, so you're quite solitary anyway.
I'm quite happy to be, you know, on my own with the dog and my child and walking away from people. I feel like I've been training for this for years.
All right, okay. Okay, so Maria, would you be happy to, going forward, when all this is over, and it will end soon, hopefully, would you be happy to go back to a time where we didn't open places unnecessarily on a Sunday?
Certainly, yes. I actually work in retail. I'm not obviously at the minute, but you see a lot of family parents coming in on a Sunday to work, and they're having to juggle childcare. And of course, you know, you're missing out on your child then. You know, and it's horrible working Sundays, and it's no problem not working Sundays either, because it means that you'd still be able to go shopping on your other day that you're off anyway.
Yeah. And how do you think your 14-year-old would be able to handle that? Would she be fine with that? Because obviously, you know, places that she might go with her friends as she gets a bit older, maybe not at 14, but 16, won't be open.
I think she'd be, she's fairly easygoing. I'm, you know, she wouldn't give a flying really, to be honest with you. She's fairly good about it.
Is she looking forward to having a new brother or sister?
Out loud, no. But behind closed doors, yes.
All right, okay.
Oh, I'm so delighted. That'd be lovely.
It will be lovely for her, yeah.
It will be so nice. Honest to God, it'll be a great...
Although she might lose a bit of the attention. that might go away. But she's mature. She's 14. She'll deal with it.
She will.
Well, exactly. And, like, to be honest, she's busy doing, like, before all of the virus stuff, she's actually busy with her own stuff as well. Like, she helps out at riding school and she has a bit of a job doing at her kennels and things. So she's busy as well anyway, you know, so it's not going to take away from that.
All right, okay. Well, I think we're all in agreement. I think it would be all great if we could go back to closing on Sundays after this, all those.
I think it wouldn't knock anything out of us, honestly. We know we don't need it. Yeah. And it's lovely to have some time with your family. And you know, us supporters can work around...
Yeah, sorry, Bernie, just finish what you're saying, Bernie.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. I said, shift workers can manage. We're fine. Like, you know, things have changed and we're able to work and get our shopping on a Wednesday night or a Thursday.
I don't know what that person meant earlier on about shift workers and weekend workers. When are they supposed to get their shopping? And will they on another day?
We always do it another day. Yeah. Having shops on a Tuesday, but there's no one else around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or they can have their memory day on another day, on a Saturday, maybe, for example, or something, or some other day. I don't get what the person's trying to say. Okay, loads of other people texting in. Thank you, Maria, by the way, and I wish you well. When's the baby due?
29th of April.
Okay, well, it's not long now.
No.
Is the husband coming home from Scotland soon?
I don't know. It depends on flights and everything. We're not sure what way it would be, you know.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, we have to. He'd be home for the birth, I hope.
Well, you see, we're not sure.
If he can get home.
Yeah, and you see, then on top of it, I'm not even sure if I'll be allowed a birthing partner.
Oh, right.
So it's a bit mad, you know. I've been told I probably won't be allowed visitors into the hospital and I might not be allowed a birthing partner.
I know what young babies, I heard this morning, a doctor on the radio this morning talking about young babies, just to be careful, you know, of isolation, you know, unnecessary visits, yes.
Yeah.
Because, and by the way, young babies are usually very safe with these, but the last thing you want is to distress a young baby, you know, with this virus. But young babies, generally speaking, are fine. If they get it, their antibodies and their immune system pick, you know, will sort it out straight away.
Thank you. So, I mean, I feel sorry for anyone who's at the beginning of their pregnancy with this going on.
Of course,
really scary. Like, I'm quite lucky that I'm at the end.
Okay, well, look, I wish you well with the baby. Will you do me a favour? Will you keep in contact with us and let us know what you have? We need to know about the baby now. Everyone wants to know.
Okay, I will do.
So we get back on to you. So the date again was April the what?
29th.
Okay, Helena's putting it down in her diary. We're going to make sure we ring you back on the 30th, all right, to find out exactly what you had, because everybody now wants to know, all right?
Oh, how funny. Okay.
Thanks. Bye. All right. Thanks very much to everybody today for your calls, by the way. It was quite interesting. And a little bit lighter. Somebody says, thanks a million, Niall, for lightening up the show today. Yeah, well, I think it's nice. I think it's time we all try to focus away a little bit from what's happening around us in the world, because we can watch it every day in the news. And I know we want to bring you the information as well as try and get a bit of conversation going too. Enjoy your day. Find something constructive to do. And if you're with your family, pull out a board game and have a nice family day.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.